We welcome you to our service this morning, and we pray for the Lord's blessing as we meet together in his house to worship his great name. Let us turn in our hymn books to hymn number 169, I Serve a Risen Savior, He's in the World Today. We'll stand and sing this together to God's praise, hymn number 169, I Serve a Risen Savior. Seated. Let us ask for God's blessing on us as we meet together around his word this morning. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give thee thanks for the privilege that is ours of being able to meet together on this thy holy day. We pray that we might be among those who are true worshipers of thee, the living God, and who worship thee in spirit and in truth as thou dost require of us. We pray, Lord, for thy blessing to be with those who are not well this morning, who are going through times of trial. We pray for thy special hand to be upon them. We remember our brother Ron this morning and our brother Sam. We also pray for Mrs. Sushila. We pray for Serene and Jonah and Dr. McClelland. We also remember Dr. Allison and Kim Wagner in their time of need. And Lord, help us to appreciate that thou art the God that doest all things well, that nothing is outside of thy purposes, that thou art the one that knows the end from the beginning, who art acquaint with all our ways. We commit ourselves afresh to thy care and keeping. We pray, Lord, for thy blessing to be with those who are suffering from the virus this morning, who are either hospitalized or at home. We pray for thy hand of healing to be upon them. We remember those associated with us, and we pray for thy blessing to be with them. And Lord, we also pray for thy blessing to be with those that mourn the loss of loved ones. We pray that thou wouldst comfort them in their time of need. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to realize afresh that our lives are but as a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Teach us afresh to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We pray, Lord, now that as we come to read thy word and to meditate on thy word, that thou wouldst mix it with faith in our hearts, and that we would be found among those who are those who walk by faith and not by sight, who are realizing afresh that we're pilgrims and strangers as we go through this world, and that we look for that city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us each one in our souls and enable us to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Let us now turn to Psalm 103a. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Psalm 103a. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord. Let us now turn in God's word this morning to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9. Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 18 in the chapter. Luke 9, verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. May God bless to us this reading from his holy and infallible word to our never dying souls. We welcome you to our service this morning, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on us as we meet together around his word. The online services continue because the session has reconsidered opening to the in-person services today and ask for your prayers and patience as we want to be careful for the well-being of all our people. We ask you to continue to remember those who are sick. We pray for Dr. Ruth Slade, Mrs. Sushila, our brother Sam McAnally, and Ron Blair, and those who are suffering from the COVID illness. Please continue to pray for our frontline workers, including those in our congregation who work in the medical field. We remember the churches that are without pastors at this time, and we think of the work in Fredericton and Cloverdale and Victoria. A few weeks ago, we were able to see a video of the Uganda Christian School, and the video was related to the young couple who have gone to work in Uganda. If you would like to donate toward that ministry, please send in your offering so we can forward the offering to that work. The services this evening, there will be a time of prayer at 5:50, followed by the evening service at 6:30. On Wednesday, there will be the Bible study and prayer time at 7:30 p.m. And next Lord's Day, there will be the services at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. with the online continuing at this time. All these, the Lord willing. At this time, I'm going to ask our brother Daniel to come and present a short message regarding the children's work.
Thank you, brother, and hi, everybody. My name is Daniel Saman, in case you didn't know, and I have a cool little announcement for the kids listening everywhere, I guess. Starting this afternoon at 2 p.m., we'll be putting up a show online on sermon audio called Behind the Wall, similar to the messages you hear on Sunday, but it will be a 20-minute show going through some scriptures, a verse to memorize, as well as a song to sing at the end. So I hope you really enjoy it. It'll be something you can log on to sermon audio with your parents. We strongly encourage you to do so with your brothers and sisters and with mom and dad, and to discuss what you hear with them. We'll have some cool visitors on the show, some friends who'll come on, and we'll have a good time, hopefully, worshiping the Lord. First and foremost, we want to thank Pastor, the Board of Elders, the Sunday School Committee, and most of all, my brother-in-law, Jonathan McAnally, for his awesome work in editing and preparing the show. And we just pray be a blessing to all of you. Any feedback or prayer you can give us, we'd be more than glad to have as we go forward. And anybody who wants to get involved, reach out. We'd be glad to have you. But the reason for the show is what I'm here to talk about. The reason why we want to create a program for kids to share with you the good news of Christ is why we're here. So to illustrate my point, I've brought along one of the co-stars of our program. This guy right here. Hey. Can you guys guess what kind of animal that is, kids? Do you guys know? You can shout it out if you want to. Yeah. That is a lion. Hi, lion. And what's my name again, guys? Do you remember my name? It's Daniel, right? So does this remind you of anything in the Bible where there's a guy named Daniel and a lion? Anybody? Yeah. There's a story in the book of Daniel where there's a man named Daniel thrown into a den of lions. So by way of reminder, just in case you forgot and didn't pay attention in Sunday school, I'll tell you the story. So the story is there's a young man in Babylon, which is a country far away from Israel. He was born in Israel and taken away there basically as a slave. And from his youth until he got much, much older, he was a man who had what God calls an excellent spirit in him, meaning he loved the Lord, he worshiped God, and in everything he did, the Lord blessed him. And this happened throughout the course of his life with six different kings coming and going from the moment he came to Babylon. Six different kings. So he had some staying power, to say the least. But this Daniel was so revered and loved that even when an invading king came in the time of Darius the Mede, which is one of the kings that came after Nebuchadnezzar, in case you're curious, that King Darius loved Daniel. He thought he was fantastic. So he had in his kingdom, he had princes and presidents, it's like the top people in the country, and he liked Daniel the most out of all of them. He made him one of the three presidents, and in fact, he was the favorite of the three presidents. So you can imagine, if you're a Christian and you're doing very well and succeeding, that other people might look at that and kind of want your spot and be jealous. And that's exactly what happened. There were people that came in and were jealous. Those other princes, those presidents wanted to take the blessing that God had given Daniel. So they made a plan. They went to the king and they said, King, listen, you're the king of the country. We want everybody to worship you and not any other gods. So let's have 30 days in which nobody can even pray to another god. And they said that knowing that Daniel, being a good believer of God, like many of us here are, would pray to the Lord every single day without fail three times. Now, Daniel, when he heard about this, didn't change his plan whatsoever. He wasn't afraid of lions. He wasn't afraid of being killed. He wasn't afraid of anything or anybody because he knew he could worship the Lord, and that was all that mattered. So Daniel went to his door. He prayed with a window wide open and worshiped his God. And what happened? They caught him, and they told him, we're going to throw you into the den of lions. So Daniel gets brought in front of the king. And the king, seeing this Daniel that he likes so much, is told, we're going to have to throw him into the den of lions and basically kill him and tear him apart. Because in case you didn't notice, not every lion looks like this little puppet here, right? Lions have big, sharp teeth and claws, right? So this is a den, a hole full of lions that hadn't eaten, they're ready to devour anybody thrown in. That's a pretty scary situation. Now, Daniel, in front of the king, didn't say anything. Nothing. The king looked at Daniel and said instead, he believes that the God of Daniel will deliver him, even from those lions. And that king spent the whole night thinking of ways to get Daniel out. He was worrying, trying to find a way that Daniel wouldn't have to be thrown into the den of lions. But the next day, everyone came back to the king and said, listen, the law says he has to be thrown into the den of lions. Throw him in. The king said, so be it. The God of Daniel will deliver him. And so Daniel didn't say a word, gets thrown into this pit full of hungry lions. And what do you think happened? Like, he's literally being thrown into a pit of hungry lions who want to eat him and devour him. What happened? The king didn't know. The king was concerned and worried, spent the whole night not eating, didn't want to hear any music, just sat in his room worried, and came first thing in the morning and opened up that pit of lions. And he said, has God really delivered Daniel from this? Is your God able to rescue you even from hungry lions? And Daniel looked at him and said, yes. And he showed him that the angel of God came and protected him, shut the mouth of those lions, and Daniel came out without a single scratch in a pit full of lions. And so King Darius was amazed, and he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a believer at all. And he began to worship God and commanded on that day that the whole kingdom would worship the God of Daniel. So why is that an important story? Well, it's because at the end of that story, Darius says something wonderful about the Lord. He says, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of lions. That means God, our God that we believe in, rescues people. He delivers people, even from the most scary of circumstances, the most difficult of trials, including a pit of lions. So why is that important for a kids program, you might ask? Well, let me tell you something, guys. I've been a Christian now for about 14 years myself, and I've seen the hand of God deliver me many, many times from troubles and fears and worries. I'm sure many of us here sitting in this room or watching online have seen the hand of God rescue us and deliver us, and we want to give God glory for that. And I want to share with you who listen, every Christian child listening to this program, that you might learn more of the goodness of God and not to fear even in the scariest of circumstances, because your God, your Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, will deliver and rescue you, not just from the troubles of this life, but into eternity forever. You could be with him for all time. And the second part is, very personally, I wasn't saved till I was 19 years old. And so I don't want that to happen to any of you, because this world is full of things that could take your life right now, whether it be a car crash, whether it be illnesses, whether it be Christ coming today. We don't know, but your life might end very quickly. And we don't want anybody, and I mean anybody, to go one day longer than they need to without being saved, without knowing Christ personally as their Savior, that he can deliver you, not just from your troubles, but from the power of sin. Because the Bible tells us that if you sin, if you mess up, you're supposed to die. The wages of sin is death. But because our Lord Jesus came into this earth and shed his blood and was subjected to death and came up on the third day, reigning in power and glory right now, you can trust him to deliver and to rescue you from your sins, and then every day for the rest of your life to deliver you and rescue you from troubles, and at the end of the day to rescue you and deliver you from this world to be in heaven forever. That's the point of the message. That's what this is all about, to put this God, our God, on display, that he is a God who does indeed deliver and rescue. And so I just want to quote the full quote from King Darius as to what he says about our God. He says, he is the living God and steadfast forever, meaning he doesn't change. And his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed, meaning the thing you're putting your hope in as a Christian, this kingdom of God, the presence and power of God in your life, will never be taken away from you. You can trust him forever. And his dominion shall be even unto the end, meaning he will have power and rule over this universe until it's over, and it never will. And he delivereth and he rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of lions. So if all this is true, young one, listen to the program today, and we're going to be talking about fear, how to overcome fear, and how to trust in God to overcome even the greatest fear of all, which is the fear of death, and that it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you enjoy the program, and God bless you all.
We now have a children's hymn to sing together, How Can I Fear? We'll sing this hymn together to God's praise.
Thank you.
Yes, what a blessing it is to be able to trust in the Lord, knowing that he cares for us and watches over us. Now, at this time, I'm going to hand the pulpit over to our brother, Mr. Frank DiDerno, and he's going to bring us the word.
Good morning. If you can please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. As you're turning there, it is the portion of the Emmaus Road. As disciples walk there and meeting the stranger of Galilee. And we're going to commence our reading this morning at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together for all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together, they reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they draw nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. May the Lord add his blessing to his reading this morning, and let us seek the Lord for help this morning in the preaching of his word. Our Father and our God, we give thanks this morning that we are found in the place of thy house, Lord, that we know that we can exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that knowing that it was for thy people that thou did die and thou did come to shed thy blood this morning. Lord, as we remember the application of the very blood, that, Lord, we ask thee, O Lord, this morning, that thou would truly wake us up. Wake us up in the things of God. And, O Lord, to put our minds to thee and to see that thou art a mighty God and thou dost care for thy people. Lord, that thou didst say that he that draweth nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto him. Lord, come now this morning. Give help by the Spirit of God. Save us, O Lord, this morning from dead religion. Save us this morning, O God, from a cold heart. Warm us up, O Lord, that thou may even show us of thy glory in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we do know this morning that there are many burdens today. Lord, that thou dost know the times. And, Lord, we do ask of thee, Lord, that thou would pour out thy grace this morning, that thou art the God that does mend the broken heart. Thou art the very God that does take thy people by the right hand through the storms of life. And, O Lord, we ask of thee that now, O God, is the time to work. And now, O God, is the time that thy presence is needed. And, O Lord, if the church does not have God, then what does it have? O God, save us from the arm of flesh this morning. Save us from our own opinions. But, Lord, we look to the cross this morning that we are able to say that Christ paid it all. And, O Lord, help us this morning to grasp what thou dost want us to hear. For thou dost always come with a message. And, O Lord, thou dost always give a people to hear. Prepare our hearts this morning. Give grace, O God. Move us by thy Spirit. And, O Lord, we ask of thee that thou would bless this very time. Be with us here in this meeting. Do the unexpected. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. In this reading here, I want to bring to your attention that a Christian's cold heart to the Word of God is far more dangerous than we could imagine, because it lies at the root of all our errors, both in faith and in practice. The heretics of old have always attacked the very doctrine of the resurrection of our risen Lord, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God that the very Jewish people have put the nails in our Christ this morning, because they denied the resurrection. And they denied the very work and person of Jesus Christ. The Jewish rulers crucified their Messiah because of their ignorance to the word of the living God. In this narrative, the disciples of our Lord himself were confounded at the very death of their master. And they began to lose hope in their hearts because they failed to realize that he must rise again. My friend, if there was a coldness of heart, and if you were to put yourself back in time, then those disciples, my friend, it was a coldness that you would probably feel by just standing right beside them. But our blessed Lord, after his resurrection, joined the two of them. This stranger of Galilee went right to his people. And on the road to Emmaus, when Christ had found how ignorant and slow of heart were these men to believe all that which the prophets have spoken. And what did Christ do? He reproved them. And he convinced their very hearts the things concerning himself. That the Messiah ought to have suffered the very things which he had suffered in that way to enter into his glory. He therefore expounded unto them the Scriptures. Are you Christian this morning just like these disciples walking the very road to Emmaus? Well, possibly you're saying this morning, well, there's many reasons for me to be in despair this morning. Yeah, perhaps you're right. But I'm going to give you one reason this morning why you shouldn't be. Have you come to God's house this morning with great grievingness, doubting the Christian faith? Well, let me tell you this, your sadness and despair is rooted in your misunderstanding and unbelief. Therefore, this morning, I want to preach to you on the remedy for a Christian's despairing heart. And I got three major points that I want to preach to you on. The first point here is the despairing heart confronted by Christ addressing their sadness. Here we see very clearly the reason for the disciples' sadness. What does he say here? What does it say here? It says, we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. They said, we trusted. There was once a time that we knew that our master was going to come and to redeem Israel, but now he's dead. We trusted. Past tense. We are of those who are not only looked upon him to be a prophet, like Moses, but like him, a redeemer also. So you can just think what these disciples were thinking, and it was Christ here that was completely dependent upon. And there were great things expected from this Lord. Well, by those that looked for redemption, I want to bring to your attention it was their lack of hope that made their sadness. Hope disappointed, especially such a hope, destroys the very heart. Notice here and see how they made their lack of hope the ground of their despair. You see, it was their unbelief that caused them to despair. And here, that they might have understood it, if they were able to understand that them, that it was Christ himself that was making himself near to them. It says Christ himself drew himself near to them. Well, Christ knew that they were in despair. And Christ knows this morning that if you're in despair, whether it be your unbelief or your despair or your coldness of heart to the things of God, Christ will draw himself near to you. Oh, yes, he will. Because here, the ground of their unbelief was the very ground of their surest hope, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It says here, we trusted that it had been him, so should have redeemed Israel. So far had these saints went on with Christ, but now they are ready to give up the cause. But you see, Christ aims right at the heart. The remedy begins to work by Christ addressing their weakness of faith. Christ reproves them for their lack of understanding. These were men of God. These men should have known that what the Old Testament has preached, that on the third day that Christ was to rise from the dead. Notice what the Lord says. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. And Christ called them fools, not in regards to any gross sin, but it was to address their weakness of faith. You see here, for if they had given the prophets of the Old Testament a closer look, they would have been without any doubt. There wouldn't have been any doubt of Christ rising from the dead, being the third day after his death. Therefore, this brings us to our second point. The despairing heart directed. As Christ directs the very despairing heart, he points to them the Scriptures. When Christ begins to speak, he directed them to the Word of the living God, Notice what it says here in Luke chapter 24, verse 27 here. It reads, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Christ pointed to himself. The rootness of their unbelief, he knew the cure was himself. And my friend, your unbelief this morning, you need to go to the cross. You need to go to Calvary. So much as the effectual call of God draws in sinners, the power of the gospel, it draws in the saints of God also. And so much you must go to Calvary this morning. The closer you get there, my friend, the unbelief will begin to fade away. Christ preached of himself. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, when they took down the body of Christ from the cross. This was the same Nicodemus that came to Christ with his law, with the law of the prophets. And when Christ had to address Nicodemus, you see, because Nicodemus came by the law of Moses. And the very word, what was the very words that Christ said to Nicodemus? That ye must be born again. He pointed to himself, and the ending of that narrative, what does he do? He points the doctor of the law right to his backyard, and he points to him himself. Oh, Nicodemus, you should have known these things. That even as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, what did Christ say? Even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. But Nicodemus' ignorance, it played a fault here. And surely his brother, when his brethren would say, "Surely, Nicodemus, that you do have a place in heaven because of your religion. Because, Nicodemus, you've kept the law. You're a teacher of the law. Surely you, Nicodemus, have a place in heaven." But Christ stopped him and he said, "Unless," he says, "you are born again, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus' ignorance came from his unbelief in Jesus Christ. A church falls away because of its unbelief in Jesus Christ. The minister falls away because of his unbelief in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory." And today we're living in a time that man has his hands all over the church. God save us from dead religion this morning. God save us from the work of any man. The church fails to exalt the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to be a theologian this morning to understand that what Christ was doing here. You don't need to have a PhD to understand that the whole Word of God points to Christ. The Old Testament pointed to a sacrifice. The New Testament was a living sacrament of the New Testament blood that was shed for sinners. Oh, my friend, it's still being preached today. There is no remedy like the Word of God. The government can come with the institutions. They can claim mental illness. They can claim whatever they want to claim, but the sickness lies within the heart. The sickness lies within sin that dwells in the very heart itself. And the only remedy is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The heretics of old attacked the very doctrine of the resurrection and say that Christ didn't fully die on the cross of Calvary. They said that Christ didn't really rise from the dead. My friend Thomas himself doubted. But I tell you this morning, no false religion can deny the wounds on the hands of Christ, can they? This was not a secret this morning. Christ made it very known. There were eyewitness accounts of what happened on Calvary. And just like when Philip the evangelist, when he preached Christ to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 8 verse 35, I'll give you the reference. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him, Jesus. Central theme is Jesus Christ the righteous. And you see, now these disciples began to understand the very purpose of their master's death. And if you don't understand what went down on Calvary, then you too are going to be living a despairing life. You need to know what happened. You need to know that these things much have happened in the death of Christ. The appointments of law pointed to death and bloodshedding as the only possible way of forgiveness of sins. Oh, uplifting are indeed are these blessed scriptures. But it is the very light, you see, this morning that gives understanding to the doubt-filled heart. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, I tell you the promises of God. Well, you say many preachers even today and ministers say that my ministry is crippled by this virus and that what use do I have? But God said that I will build my church, he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can send 10 more viruses, but if the Lord said, I will build my church, my friends, it's going to flourish. Not because of man. And you say here, the very first promise that was made of him told of a suffering as well as a triumphant Savior. And if Christ said, I've come to save sinners, then Christ will draw them in through the power of the gospel of God. And my friend, for the troubled heart, we must be shaken in our faith. You see, Jesus Christ himself directs us to the Bible. Christ, he points to himself in the scriptures. And as the picture begins to get clear for these disciples, you can put yourself in their shoes as the coldness begins to get hot. And by Christ making himself known to them, that was the catalyst of the flame. Christ pointing to himself. Having set them right in their reading of the scriptures, the Savior even entered them into their home, and he made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And it says he went in to tarry with them. My friend, this stranger of Galilee was no longer a stranger, you see. But he was now the host. As Christ broke the bread and gave it to them, Christ blessed it and gave it to them, he was now the host. And my friend, even as the scriptures state, as we just read this morning, Jesus drew himself near to them. And they didn't even know his presence. You see what the coldness of the heart does? Christ is here right now. He's with us right now. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It's not God's will for you to be despairing this morning. As a matter of fact, you're going against scriptures. Calvary's middle tree is not the place of defeat. Calvary's middle tree is not the place of despair. But when the God-man came, he claimed victory over the cross. And my friend, it was victory because these men, the surest ground of their unbelief, it came. They were despairing the very thing that was victory. Now we see the despairing heart delivered. Christ doesn't leave a job half done. There's no such thing as half salvation. And this was all done by discovering the risen Christ. Here lies the proof of the resurrection of Christ as it reads in Luke chapter 24, verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered today, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. those of you who know your Bibles in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit moves upon these men, that now persecution came, they began to sing. No, there cannot be more discouragement. Christ has risen. And the whole Acts of the Apostles was centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ. And you have churches today focusing on the miracles and look at all the apostolic works, but it was the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead. And when Peter was filled with the Spirit of God, he didn't preach his opinion. When Paul was beaten with rods, he didn't preach philosophies of this world. When John the Baptist came, they took his head, but they couldn't take his testimony. And you see, you can have all the false religion you want, but Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that it's the work of any man, save in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's a simple faith. Peter preached of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, 3,000 souls were added unto the kingdom of God. Jesus Himself was near. You see the effect, what it had. These were the same men that were despairing. It was the same Peter. The last time Peter seen Christ Himself, he was bawling his eyes out. That's the last time Peter seen Christ. It is the same Peter preaching the gospel to both Jew and Gentile. You see, here lies the proof of the resurrection. The world can say what it wants about the resurrection. They can say that he wasn't fully dead. My friend, no one survives the Roman crucifixion. You talk to any doctor. There's no grounds for that argument. The devil wants to attack it. My friend, there's no grounds for that. And here, as they met at the very end, it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, where it said, he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. The angel, having directed the woman to tell Peter of it, particularly in Mark's Gospel 16, verse 7. The Lord is risen without any doubt. Eyewitness accounts. It's not a secret. It is past dispute. There's no possible room to doubt it. My friend, it all happened by embracing the Word of God. What an effect the Word of God has upon the heart. One word from God, and all the coldness goes away. One word from God, and the kindle of the flame begins to burn hot. As we believe here, as we get to the end, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? You see, that's what happens when the gospel is preached. That's what happens when Christ's name is exalted. Hearts begin to go on fire for God. And if there's anything that the church needs today, it's to have a heart that's on fire for God. Yes. They found the preaching powerful, even when they knew that this was just a stranger. It struck a chord. It was brought understanding to them, clarity of mind. No more confusion. No more lack of faith. No more slowness of heart. But brought, as one commentator puts it, a holy heartburn for the Lord. Which was once a cold heart, now kindled by a holy fire, which burns for the truth. Many men were martyred by fire because of their stand for Christ. And all these things, now they embrace their Messiah, resting now in the reality that this is truly the risen Savior. Jesus himself that had been talking with them all along. And Christ is ever so near to you this morning, even you might not be able to feel it. Everyone wants to base their Christian walk on an experience. But if your experience doesn't tally with the book, then it's wrong. No, my friend, it was Christ that is being preached. What fools were they that they were not sooner aware of who it was? And every time when you have a cold heart and you're brought back to Christ, you say the same thing. What fool am I to doubt the things of God? There's no other book, no other word, no other philosophy, no other wisdom of man that can compare with the power of God unto salvation, the gospel of God. No, sir. No other wisdom except the eternal words of Christ himself. No, you see, it must have been him. The stranger of Galilee, it must have been him. As a matter of fact, it could only be him. And it's him who holds the key to the very hearts this morning. And as we come to a full circle concluding all things, the disciples were not completely ignorant. They believed only part of what the prophets have spoken. But they did not believe at all. Centerpiece was missing. For their understanding of what the scriptures taught, and therefore this brought despair to their own hearts. But praise God this morning that we have the word of the living God. Search the scriptures, that Christ may be found. You see, the Bible always leads to action. The Bible is a practical book. It's not a dead faith. It's a living faith. And here, I've met many Christians in my own personal life who get discouraged and cast down because they fail to understand a certain portion of Scripture. And they fail to believe all that what the prophets have spoken. The church needs this morning is to be masters of the book. What does the word say? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. Christ has risen from the dead. We serve a living God this morning. We serve a living faith this morning. God said himself in the Old Testament that I am not a God of the dead, but I am a God of the living. But many Christians believe that they are serving a dead faith. It's not God's will this morning for you to be in despair. You're not fighting towards the victory. You're fighting in the victory. And oh, you child of God, your heart may be cold. But one word from God, it'll set you on fire for him. We don't need dead religion. We need a living faith. And we can see, experience the same things that these disciples experienced. Did not our heart burn within us? May our hearts burn for Christ. And when despair may begin to creep in and you start to feel the coldness, remember Christ and his work. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Let us end with prayer and ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the word of the living God. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy faith is an unmatched faith. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art able to set a flame to the very heart. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy words when thou did point to thyself concerning himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Save us from our wanderings. Save us, O Lord, from offering strange fire. Purify the church, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to be a Christ-centered people. Help us to love the things that thou hast loved and to hate the things that thou dost hate. And Lord, as we walk in this road, draw nigh unto us. And O Lord, that we can say that thou art the Christ, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Lord, as we ask of thy blessing, we know that there are many burdens. And Lord, we cast all our burdens upon thee. And even as it's dismissing time, Lord, we ask of Thee, draw nigh unto us. And, O Lord, that we can truly go forward preaching the gospel and remembering the Great Commission. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. Bless this church. Bless everyone here. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.